We don't exactly use business intelligence technologies when we plan these rooms, such as data mining or pattern matching, neural analysis, or even trend analysis. But it seems for this session, we are spot on. Thank you very much for coming to my session this afternoon. My name is Siyoung Ri, and I am a product manager on the SharePoint product team. My focus workload is BI. This session will be focused heavily on the Office and SharePoint technologies. But as some of you are aware, BI is not just a few products. So I'll be also crossing over to a little bit of the database components from SQL Server. Feel free to use any of the mics in the room on any time during the presentation for any types of questions. I'll be happy to address them as we go. So business intelligence, I'll be using the term as short abbreviated as BI from now on, has been the number one investment area for CIOs for the past 5 years. And I often get the question, and probably so some of you guys will too, is that why is it so popular, especially among the CIOs, given that it's just a solution? It's just a database connected to a web portal with a client tool. Why is it different from ERPs or CRMs? Why is it different from more important systems for the enterprise? Why is it such a popular term and technology these days? And I think my take on it is that it is the first time that an IT solution not only supports the business, but actually is the differentiator. It's actually the competitive edge that our executives and analysts can use to win the business. It is the first time that we actually have a solution that propels the business. It allows you to monitor the progress, find anomalies in your product lines, research the past of the vast amounts of data that organizations and companies have accumulated. It is the first time that all of these technologies come together and offer a fascinating view into these businesses. And that's why we think that BI, even though it has been the number one technology for the past 5 years, will continue to strive for the future. And so I'll be talking about some of the trends and why Microsoft, we think that Microsoft will be the future leader of BI. But I'll more focus more of the time on a very comprehensive demo. It's about 30, 35 minutes. I'm talking about some of the roles and some of how the users could use this system to help their business. Before I dive in, can I just set the right level of context? It is a 200 level session, so. But are there any BI architects out there? Okay. Any consultants? Right. Database modelers? Hopefully not. Okay. All right. So. I'll level it about 250. That feels good to everybody. All right. So apart from Microsoft BI, business intelligence in general has changed a little bit for the past 10 years. A company called Hyperion actually started using the term called BI a couple of decades ago. But it was merely a reporting system that allowed IT professionals to create charts and grids and graphs of their business. And it was these IT pros that were database specialists that knew how to manipulate their data, knew how to create views on that data, and crunch statistical reports for their executives and their business counterparts. The problem with that was that this is called BI. The word B is business. And it was very strange for IT people to be creating these reports, mainly because they did not understand the business. And there was a big gap between the people who created the report the people actually who needed the report. And so the traditional approach of being IT-owned, IT-managed, became a big bottleneck because business owners wanted the reports very fast. IT did not have the capacity to create all these reports in that short amount of time. And so what happened was a lot of these business users came up with their own idea of BI using tools like Excel, spreadsheets, and they got permission to their databases from their friends in IT, and they ended up creating their own views, creating their own reports, which were not exactly compliant. And so this gap was recognized by a lot of companies, Microsoft, IBM, SAP, Oracle, and we're all pitching the new story called Self-Service BI. business users to be able to create their reports, their dashboards. IT should be able to support these users by maintaining the databases, the data warehouses, the OLAP cubes, and whatnot. The vision was nice. Everybody was saying the same thing, self-service BI, pervasive BI, BI for the masses. But it was all the same thing. The problem was who got where and how far did we go in that vision. When we talk about the self-service BI, this BI users, this end-user BI, there is one critical factor that needs to be addressed, and is that BI is something that's not done alone anymore. It's not this special guru or this special analyst who knows how to use Excel or who knows how to create MDX queries or who know how to distinguish between a member and a measure. It's these business users who talk with each other, who have boards of directors, or who have a lot of these information workers who work together to actually combine their efforts and come to the decision. And so a lot of these social features, collaboration features, actually come into play when making these decision-making problems. And so Microsoft stepped in the year 2007 with our Office 2007 and SharePoint 2007, and we started to address this specific need, and that the tools need to be easy, the tools need to be familiar with these end users who are now starting to create these reports. So that's Microsoft's value prop. We focus on the value of the end users. Although, frankly speaking, most of our revenue comes from our IT pros, our value prop is strictly focused on end users, and that we want to make sure that these BI projects are a success because they are utilized. Statistical evidence states that 40% of all BI projects actually fail. And the main reason for that is because they are not utilized by the end users, whether it's because the tool is too hard to use, whether it's because their data is not cleansed, or whether it's because some of the technology is too far, it's too fast for their end users to understand. It all boils down to the end users' usage cases. And so Microsoft, with the power of Office, SharePoint, and SQL Server, we offer a comprehensive, complete platform that allows not only the end users to create reports themselves, but for IT and everybody in between to be able to contribute to that BI in a collaborative fashion. And so with these three products, Office, SharePoint, and SQL Server, which should now be SQL 2012, I'm sorry, offer the platform. Most of you use 28R2 anyhow, so use this platform to create their dashboards, their reports, their workflows, the collaborative decision-making platform that people are familiar of. And the very critical piece is that the Office piece on the end. I heard a very nice joke from my partner saying that the number two feature of all BI tools is export to Excel. There are many BI tools in the world, MicroStrategy, Cognos, BusinessObjects, ClickTech, Tableau, Excel, and the number two feature is export to Excel. The number one feature is, of course, to save and edit, but other than that, a lot of these tools actually depend on Excel to function. It's because the reason that all of our end users are so happy is because they're using Excel without even knowing that they're doing BI. And so I will show you a quick demo today. Well, it's not a 30-minute quick demo. I'm talking about how users use this platform to do their everyday tasks of analyzing data. So this is a demo that I built with the partner in about 3 weeks. Provided that the data was cleansed, we used the Contosa Retail Data Warehouse data set and built it upon SharePoint 2010, Office 2010, and SQL Server 28R2. We utilized technologies such as Performance Point Services, Excel Services, Reporting Services, Power Pivot, and a little bit of analysis services, write back capabilities to do some simulations. And while I show you the demo, I'll talk about a little bit of each of those components. So this is Contoso. Many of you are aware of our fictitious company. We create cameras, camcorders, televisions, games and toys, and a whole lot of things related to that as well. And this is the dashboard that the CEO, Dan Jump, logs in every morning and sees the progress of his reports. He has a gauge for year-to-date gross margin, sales growth, inventory on hand by each of these different product categories. Excuse me. Let me refresh that. Each of these product categories, and depending on my login, now the different data parts will be shown according to my level. So let me log in as a CEO. And I get an immediate view of each of the different product areas, the product lines, the services of our business. On the bottom part, I have views of our quota, our sales amount, and the comparisons to see if all of our business lines are on track. Now, all of you can see that even from this dashboard view, most of our product lines, actually all of them, are above 100% noted by the green signal. And so it looks, on the surface, it looks like our business is doing pretty well. But if I look at my geographical kind of brief GIS app, it maps out that while European and Asian countries, regions are doing okay, our North American subsidiaries aren't doing as well, shown by the orange and yellow picture. Now, if I drill down to North America, I can see by the different states that some of these states aren't doing so well. By the way, this web part is created by SQL Server Reporting Services. And inside SQL Server 28R2, there is a map container that you can create that has all of these different states and maps. So you could, if you have a data set that has geographic positions, you can map that as part of this web part as well. Now, immediately, I see that most of the states aren't doing too well, but in particular, Texas is more red than the other ones. We usually build these demos to make fun of Texas for some reason that I can't understand from my native country, but for some reason, Texas is red, and it's how it is in the data set, so please, no offense for that. But Texas seems to have a problem, so because I am the CEO, even if I am a IT guru, I don't want to do any MDX queries on this, so I'll contact my sales manager, Jack, who should be in charge of North America. Now, Jack is the managing director of North America, so he oversees all of these different subsidiaries inside North America. And so he's probably not the best guy who knows what's happening in Texas. And so I'll try to see if there's anybody on his team who can do a better job. And I immediately noticed Alan Brewer, who I know personally, because he is the sales manager for Texas. If I go to his My site, and utilizing some of these social technologies built into SharePoint, you're able to go navigate back and forth to find the expertise that you need for your task. Now, Alan is currently not online, as you can see by this presence indicator. I could call him, but I think for today, I'll leave him a note. Yo, I'd like to know more about Texas. I think that should be enough to give him a sense of why I'm asking. And so I'll leave him a note, and this will allow him to check my question when he logs on for the next time. Using some of these social features in SharePoint allows people to collaborate, even if they're not online at the time, asynchronously or synchronously, to share information, share documents, share reports, share dashboards, share ideas, or even just have very casual chats. So I guess that was just kind of the CEO scenario. I look at a global dashboard. On the surface, everything looks okay, but in particular, there are some regions that aren't looking very good. So rolled up from a product line standpoint, everything is okay. But from a geographic standpoint, some regions could do better. So I find the expertise, call Alan Brewer, and leave him a note to see if he could find a reason for that and hopefully even fix the problem. So the second part of my demo will be logging in as Alan. Now that I've logged in as Alan, I find that my CEO wants to know more about Texas. And so I have a direct link to my original dashboard. that allows me to filter the global dashboard just onto the Texas region. And you'll notice that the territory filter has already been set to Texas, which was preset according to the login. So now, because I'm the sales manager of only Texas, all the information is filtered down to my particular subsidiary. Immediately, you will know from the scorecard that things aren't looking too good. Not only are our TVs not meeting the quota, but we have a very immediate problem in cameras and camcorders meeting only 80% of the quota. I can select cameras and camcorders, which will allow me to filter the entire dashboard by only cameras and camcorders. And you will immediately see that cameras and camcorders, not only are they not meeting the quota, but they're actually reducing, they're actually doing very bad. On the contrary, if I select, for example, games and toys, they're actually selling very well. So there must be something wrong with cameras and camcorders, whether it's a correlation problem with games and toys, or it's a seasonal problem with promotions. And so I want to do some further analysis on why cameras and camcorders aren't doing so well. I have a nice pie chart. And some of you BI professionals out there will make fun of why I have a pie chart in a dashboard. I see a few smiles. But it's a good way to show off a dashboard, which unfortunately a lot of executives like these types of pie charts. So we have that here. SharePoint 2010 has Performance Point Services, which is a dashboarding tool included as part of default services. And so it allows you to create these types of dashboards as well as do these types of root cause analysis. And so I start with cameras and camcorders that have the total sales number. I can start breaking these down by, for example, products. So maybe not all cameras are doing bad. Maybe digital cameras are doing OK. Maybe it's just the digital SLRs. Even among those, maybe there are particular models that are not doing so well. And maybe I can break this down. Maybe I should break this down by sales territories. And of course, yes, Houston is not doing so well here. I can break this down by, let's find the employee name, for example, the sales agent, who's on the bottom ladder. And do or create seems to be, let's put it this way, not performing as well as we'd like to. I could give him a call, but better than that, I might be able to do a better root cause analysis, not using this decomposition tree, but by a separate dashboard that I created regarding supply chains. By the way, all of these features that I'm showing today are built out of the box. We've done no code add-ins, no API hacks. They're all just built out of the box. We did create a new master page that you could apply on the back end for that nice Contoso layer on the back. So I'll click on supply chain analysis. And I created a separate dashboard because a lot of the problems regarding these not loading is the problem. Regarding this dashboard is that in the retail industry, supply chain is really the backbone of your industry, right? And so we created this dashboard using Visio services, as you can see on the right, reporting services as well as PPS. And so by combining the right components, it's very easy to create something like this that looks like it could work. So going back to the story, cameras and camcorders, always the problem in this case. Cameras and camcorders, you can see each of the different types of metadata in this case, as well as some of the supply chain steps. So the red in the warehouse shows that we're very low on the supply chain levels for warehouses. We can compare this to, for example, games and toys. Games and toys, on the other hand, has a very healthy supply for each step of the supply chain regarding inventory. So there must be some bottleneck on this warehouse part that's creating a problem. I also have a document library beneath it to provide supporting documents such as inventory balance, store plans, and such as that. But I'm interested in this red box here. So what's wrong with the warehouse that it's so low on inventory? I created a hyperlink on that shape to bring me to my PAR pivot gallery. Now, PAR pivot it's a new solution in Excel and SharePoint 2010 that allows you to analyze massive amounts of data without the complex technology needed as before. In Excel 23, hopefully none of you are using it today, the cap was at 65,000 lines. So one of the most common scenarios was, can you break up my data into 64,999 lines so that I can put it inside my Excel? That was a very common task, which created the spread mart problem, which was a headache for the IT, because I had to select the first row all the way to the 64,999, and then the 65,000 row to the 11,988 row, and then divide that up by the different users as well. And I had to do that every night. And that was a very painful process for Excel 23 users. Excel 2027 fixed that issue by allowing 1 million rows, but it didn't actually fix the reasons, because now our IT pros broke up the data by millions, by actually 99,999 rows for our users, right? So it didn't actually fix the problem. It kind of delayed it further, but it created larger problems because people were creating massive spreadsheets that were hundreds of megabytes in size, right? Well, not exactly, maybe 10 megabytes in size. And so we created a new solution on Excel 2010 called PowerPivot. And this basically takes out the limit. So if you have a beefy machine, as long as you have memory, you can put data in it. And the reason that's possible is PowerPivot is an in-memory technology that actually compresses the data and then loads it up into the memory. So if you have, for example, a 4 gigabyte machine, you might be able to put in 4 millions of rows of data if it's if it has small rows and numeric. But nevertheless, it's now possible that if you have Excel 2010 and PowerPivot enabled on it, you could be analyzing many, many millions, hundreds of millions of data inside your client because of this new technology. This was a breakthrough for us in BI because end users wanted to use Excel. Excel was not powerful enough to do large data set analysis, so PowerPivot was the best of both worlds. But I will talk a little bit about some of the limitations that we had as a result. But going back to the story, so this is the PowerPivot gallery. If you have an Excel spreadsheet and you have PowerPivot enabled on SharePoint, all the users have to do is just upload the Excel spreadsheet to SharePoint, and you can get a nice view like this. So this is an Excel spreadsheet rendered in HTML inside the Excel services in SharePoint. And even on the SharePoint web browser view, you could filter the data, you could drill down if it has a drill down menu, and you could do a little bit of an exploration on this web data. So your executives with iPads, starting from December cumulative update of 2011, there were some glitches in the past that these SharePoint dashboards didn't render perfectly on the iPads, but with the last cumulative update, those bugs have fixed. So you can create a dashboard in SharePoint and then just point to the site for your mobile BI experience. It might not be the best experience compared to an app or a rich client, but you have a functioning dashboard that supports a browser-based experience on iPads and Windows 8 sites. So if you need one up very early, this might be one of the solutions. Bless you. So back to the story. So I'm looking at my cameras and camcorders, the problem child of today. And if you look at the graphs, there's already a very bad sign that it's low on quantity, high on order. And I've created some graphs on the bottom talking about the variances and the trends to each of the stock levels. None of this is very important to our story. It just says that I can create these nice looking charts in blue. And I spent about an hour creating the shades on the graphs and the charts and the grids to make it look professional. And so if I show these screens to some of the people, it's hard for them to imagine that it's actually Excel. So I'll open up an Excel and actually prove it. So you can tell that it looks the same. But now that I have it in my rich client, I can do a little bit more manipulation of my data. Games and toys are good. Cameras and camcorders are bad, basically. But I need to find a way to actually convince my CEO that this was a problem and this is how we fix it. Maybe there isn't a problem. Maybe it's just a seasonal thing. And so what I want to do is I have my data inside my Excel sheet, but I want to merge it with external data. Specifically, I want to merge it with last year's promotional data. Promotional data from last year can tell me many things. And let's do a quick search if I have any data in my portal. So SharePoint 2010. enabled with fast search, allows users to do very advanced types of search, result sets, semantic search. But today, I'll just do a simple search on promotions. And it gave me back a result called 2010 sales promotions. And it would have been great if it was a nice report, but unfortunately, it's just a list of raw data. It gives me the promotion name, the promotion quantity, the product name. But it does have one important piece of data, which is the results of the promotion and non-promotion results, meaning that if I did the promotion, I would get this amount. If I hadn't, I would get this amount. So it's possible to calculate the net results of each promotion. So I have this data set. I want to put it into my Excel report so that I could republish it and report back to my CEO that this was the reason and this is how we can fix it. So how do I get this basic web report into my Excel client? There are many ways. The method that I'm going to use today is called RSS feeds. I will save this feed connection to my desktop. And I will connect it using the parpivot connectors. So this is a new parpivot window. It allows me to model data, merge data, create relationships, create hierarchies, which sounds scary, but it allows me to basically use a very Excel-oriented interface to do ETL, data modeling, and all these stuff that used to be a very big business opportunity for consultants. I'm sure the BI consultants here already know this technology, but it used to be like 3 months of consulting work just to merge different types of data sets. For example, this is a new parpivot window, and I could actually merge in different types of databases. For example, these are the sources that we support. For example, I could connect to a SQL Server, a SQL Server on the cloud, a parallel data warehouse. Anybody know what a parallel data warehouse is in this room? Okay, a couple. This is a very massive database. Traditional databases could scale up to maybe 100 terabytes, if at most. These things go far beyond that. There's a term called petabytes now. I can merge it together with Access, Oracle, Teradata, Sybase, Informix. So these are the very popular kind of data sources out there. And with the power of Excel, I could kind of combine all of these into one workbook. That's very powerful. Because today it's an RSS feed, I'll just connect that RSS feed to my workbook. The connection file was on my desktop. And I could bring in the entire data set, but as a logical data modeler would do, I could just filter some of that and bring it in. So this reaches out to the source system and finds the table names, the keys, and the things that I need to bring it in. For all of you non-BI users, it's just columns. I don't want this column, and I'm OK. It will automatically detect the relationships and bring in the data model for you. So I've applied a filter and click Finish. If you don't know how to do it, now this is a very bad instruction, but just click Next and click Finish, and it will bring in something. Right? You could worry about the model afterwards as well. And so even under a second, it has transferred 16,000 rows into my workbook. And if I click Close, you'll see that this new table called Fact Sales Promotion History has been imported into my workbook. That process that took me about 50 seconds took weeks to do in the past for a novice BI modeler. Okay, but basically, so I have that report in the web that had all of the promotion names, such as North America Holiday Promotion from Texas, and each of the results. Unfortunately, the results are in promotion results and non-promotion results. What I actually want is the net result of promotion. So I can create a separate column called, I'll call it net promotion, net promo amount. Okay. And what this column, I'm using the word columns as much as I can, this custom measure will equal the promotion sales amount minus, you can see from the formula bar, minus the non-promo amount. So what this is I'm just subtracting the net results. I'm subtracting the promotion amount minus the non-promotion amount, and I press Enter. and automatically calculates all of these, the net results of these promotions. Now, Excel users out there will say, so what? But the BI users will actually say, wow, because creating these custom measures in the past was also a couple of weeks of consulting. So now that I have the data I want, let me create a new report to showcase how easy it is to create a report from Excel. So these are my columns of data. And I want to see the net promotion results by just clicking on this box. Or I could drag it down to the values. So very fast, it added together all the data and created the total of that promotion amount, which is about 84 million. I want to break this down by promotion names, of course. And so North America Back to School promotion gave about 30 million, or 300 million. I also want to break this down by, for example, regions. So sales territory region, I can just drag this down to slicers, and it'll give me all the states. I wanted to also break this down by product categories. So I can filter to just cameras and camcorders. Right. So this number is the total of all of the promotion numbers. And I want to filter this down by Texas. You'll immediately see that the numbers are reduced. And I want to filter this down to cameras. And you'll see that the numbers filter down dramatically. But the number I'm interested in is this number right here. North America holiday sales promotion alone brought in 7.6 million last year with just that promotion. Maybe if we did it again this year, we could get that much. So that's my simple answer to my CEO. Cameras and camcorders have a seasonality, and if we do the promotions in holiday, we will be able to meet our target. Let's see if we can. So I have a separate tab or sheet. And it's the same data that you've seen in the dashboard, that it breaks it down by different products. And you will see that cameras and camcorders for Texas, it's broken down by Texas and stores, are only at 80% right now. This data is based on a cube for those BI consultants out there. How do I change this data? Answers. Yes, I think I heard right back. And so SQL Server, actually started for 2005, has a feature called writeback that allows you to change the value of a cube, which is normally only read-only. And so if you enable a writeback partition, it's possible to create a cell that you could write back to your cube and update the value. What that allows me to do is I could actually add in that 7.6 million that I had before. So if we did the holiday promotions this year, and if we did as good as last year, we could get this amount. And I'll push enter. And you'll immediately see that our CEO will be very happy if I did that adjustment. A lot of financial analysts will be very, I don't know if they'll be happy or sad, but with this type of simulations and versioning, analyzing, it's possible to actually do different types of questions, ask different types of questions based on this. In the past, if you had lots of data, if you had terabytes of data, and you wanted to do this type of simulation, it took weeks to just process that, because you have to look at it by date, by region, by country, by city, by product lines, by service lines, and all of these different types of views or dimensions, we call it, add a layer of complexity and a layer of another dimension of time it takes to process it. If you have a BI system that's built off of a cube or like a model like this, it literally takes seconds to do this types of calculations. Right. So I have 7.6 million adjusted, and now I am at 103%. And so up to now, it was pretty easy. Most people would just save it here and email this spreadsheet. But that's not the end of the story, because it'll only be known to me. If the other person goes to the dashboard, they will still see the old value. So in Excel 2010, the feature that we added here is called a what-if analysis tool. So what this allows is this allows you to actually use the Excel client to write back to that data source. This used to be a feature way back, I think, in ProClarity or in PPS planning to write back to the cube. We've added this feature into Excel because we've heard a lot of your feedback that you wanted to do these lightweight scenario analysis in your clients. So if I click on publish, this will go back to the cube, write this new data into my data source, and hopefully, and this is the breaking moment of my demo, that dashboard will be updated with a new value. So let's go back to see if the changes have been made. Original dashboard. It's usually hit and miss. Oh, there we go. So 103% for Texas and cameras, camcorders have been adjusted because I was able to find out that cameras are a seasonality thing and that if we did the promotions timely, we would be able to get this amount. So just to be helpful, I'll leave a comment using some of these comment features in SharePoint. Say that issue has been fixed. Cameras are a seasonal thing. Sorry for my spelling. And so I'll leave that message here, and hopefully my CEO or whoever's looking at this dashboard gets a sense of why this has been adjusted and the day has been saved. So what I've shown you today, if I recap my demo, the CEO will walk in, he sees the global dashboard, looks at the progress of each of the service lines, finds that on the surface, all the business lines look okay. Some regions are not doing so well. And so I find the expert using some of the search functionality and ask him to do a favor. I now logged in as the analyst, and he goes into his personalized regional dashboard. He finds the problem, he identifies the problem, and he thinks up some theories. Is it because some sales agent is not doing so well, or is it because we are not this is a seasonal thing and we can do more promotions. He finds the results using some of the search capabilities as well as merge that data into the Excel client. Now, once that data is inside the Excel client, he is free to do all the analysis that he wants because Excel is the tool of choice for most of these analysts. And he merges this data together, creates his custom columns or custom measures, and actually creates a report that looks like this. After he creates the reports, he uses some of these write-back or scenario capabilities inside Excel, changes the value and adjusts the value, and then saves it back to the server so that everybody else who's looking at the dashboard sees the most recent data pieces. Finally, he leaves a note, a comment to his manager saying that the issue has been fixed and this is the reason, and communicates back to the CEO that the issue has been fixed. So this is the end of my demo. Any questions on how this has been created or not? Good, sure.
How did you do the filter by users?
So the question was, how did I do the filter by users? So it's possible to log the usernames because our authentication system is built upon Active Directory. So if I log in as the CEO, it can identify my login. If I log in as Alan Brewer, it'll identify as a login. So according to the login ID, you could actually add those parameters onto the filters. Yes, and these filters are performance point services filters, which allows you could customize which filters affect which web parts. So if, for example, if I change the filters on the time and year, you'll notice that only the web parts that are relevant to the time and years will be updated. But if I change some of the original features, only the web parts that are relevant to that will change. So it is a dynamic filter that you can change and map to each of these web parts that allow you to customize your dashboard. Any other questions? Okay. The question was, what's the addition of the SharePoint? This is SharePoint Enterprise Edition. Because SharePoint Enterprise Edition includes the features such as Excel services, performance point services, workflow functionality. So BI in general is all enterprise. You need SQL Server Enterprise Edition for some of the advanced features such as proactive caching and all of the pipeline enhancements and integration services. And so BI in general, you can create a very small standalone one server prototype using just standard features. But in general, if you want the full functionality, Enterprise Edition is the standard. There was another question there. Yes. Right, so the question was, if I wanted to do the filters just to affect some of these web parts, do I need to customize anything? The answer is no. All these filter and parameters are built out of the box in Performance Point Designer. Sorry, the question was, is it possible to not make the whole screen refresh when I do the filters? No, it's not possible. In this current version, because this is based on pure HTML, not 5, unfortunately, if you change the filters, it'll refresh the entire page, even if you change one part. Any other questions? The question was, is it possible to create different dashboards for different users? Unfortunately, not. You can customize the filters and the parameters by users, but the dashboard pages itself is not built out of the box to change the views. You can, however, show different data sets. So for example, if the sales manager from Asia logged in, he will get his data views because it's possible to change the user authentication settings for different data sets, all the way down to the cell level. But the web page itself will be either access-based, yes or no. It's hard to change the dashboard itself based on user. Yes, the permissions themselves are based on settings here. So if you can change the page permissions on using the basic SharePoint features. If you want to change the data set features, you'll have to go into SQL Server Management Studio. Which is located here. SQL. You can use SQL Server Management Studio to fine-tune your data access. So, for example, the people in the sales organization one cannot see the revenue data of the other teams, right? So you can fine-tune the data access points from here, which is usually the recommended way to do data access. So user views on the web page can be done on the SharePoint layer. User access on the data site should be done using Management Studio. This is more of a power user scenario to do database access. I think it'll be hard for normal users to install SQL Server Management Studio on their clients. But if you're a power user, we've seen that done many times. Question? Right. So the question was, can I talk about the support for mobile platforms? Frankly speaking, mobile BI was not our strongest position when we released this platform back in 2010 or 2009. But we noticed the gap. So I talked a little bit about iPad support. So all of these dashboards that I've shown you today, minus the Silverlight components. So Silverlight components would be a Power View, Power Pivot Gallery. This is based upon Silverlight. So obviously, iPads do not support these types of Silverlight or Adobe Flash. But other than this, all of the features are supported. So I could, in theory, use the document view, for example, to show the documents, right? The other components that you've seen in the dashboard are all supported on the iPad or the Windows 8 slates. And they also support the gestures. So if you want to zoom in, you use pinch. If you want to scroll, you use two fingers and things like that. Not out of the box, but with the recent cumulative updates, you'll have to add a patch to your SharePoint form, and that allows you to show all of these features on the iPad. There was a glitch in the past that some of these didn't render or zoom in and pinch correctly. That has been fixed in the December cumulative update of 2011. Right.
For the write patch in Excel that you were downloading,
right.
Can you do that on multi-dimensional and tabular cubes?
The question was, can I do write back on both multi-dimensional and tabular cubes? No, currently you only support multi-dimensional cubes for write back. So on the cube level, if you go to SQL Server Management Studio, you should connect into your cube instance. And inside the cube instance, you go to the dimension level. inside the dimension level, you can enable the write-back partition. It's a separate menu that you enable. Once you've done that, you go to your Excel client, and you can write back to sales and use that what if box to write back to your cube. Okay. There's also, you can search on the web for detailed steps on that as well. Any questions on this side? Yeah, sure. So the question was, we have a farm developed, we have a BI farm on 27. If I'm migrating to 2010, is there any gotchas? There are several. First being that Performance Point server was a separate server in the past. It is now an integrated services in 2010, so you will have to back up and restore. A lot of times it doesn't work very well. It's actually easier to recreate your dashboards using the BSWX file that you get from Performance Point server. It's not a very hard process because most of your BI assets, such as Excel reports, Visio reports, and reporting services will work, but you will have to resave and recover your dashboard in the new services environment. Yes. I'll send it to you afterwards. Okay. Yes. Is there any key new features coming on the next version of SharePoint? of course. So yes, there are many key new features coming on the next version of SharePoint Office and SQL Server. The biggest hint you could find is looking at SQL Server 2012. In SQL Server 2012, which is already released, by the way, there are various enhancements, especially on the visual parts, such as PowerView. And I'm sure there's a lot of sessions here today. And these new interactivity dashboards allow users to filter by different regions, to have a very professional-looking dashboards. That was the first part of our investment for Next Wave. You can imagine that the second part, the missing pieces, will be covered in the Office part. And hopefully that'll be a big hint for you guys. Okay, questions? So should you wait for SQL Server 2012 or? So I think the question is, should I wait for the next version or should I use the? So it's always best to use the current version, because the next version or the beta versions are not as, I like to use the word stable. That said, our supports are staggered, so it means SharePoint 2010 will work from the past versions of SQL Server, as well as SQL Server recent versions will work with the past versions of SharePoint. We found that the best combination as of today is using SQL Server 2012, Service Pack 1, SQL Server 2012 with SharePoint 2010 Service Pack 1. That's the most stable build that we've tested. And you have all the features of Power Pivot version 2. That's actually, there's a new version in there, as well as the new features in PowerView. So you get the best of both worlds using that combination. Okay. So before we do any further questions, let me finish my PowerPoint. So how is all of this built? Basically, a BI architecture looks like this. So we have all the legacy systems that we call, such as your SQL Server database somewhere that has your sales data, your Oracle database that has your transactional data, your SAP that has your ERP data, your Dynamics that has your CRM data, and all the other kind of flat files and different kinds of data sources. The key to BI and the reason BI in the past was even successful before it even became like the pervasive BI that you see today, the reason why even IT liked BI 20 years ago was because it allowed you to connect these data together into a central database. We call those data warehouses because they warehouse data. And a lot of the database technology today, SQL Server, Oracle, Teradata, support these types of new types of data architecture. If I dive a little bit deeper into that, traditional databases, as you know, are optimized for real-time transactions. So it's optimized to save data. It's optimized to retrieve data. So if I want to say, I want to know the birth date of John Doe, then it will go into the system and sort the data according to those indexes and find the data that I need. This is all good, except for the fact that it takes a long time to do queries such as, I want to know the trends. I want to know the average of the 3 years of sales broken down by product regions, and I want to compare it to last year's. And I want to know the distinct sales managers for our 5,000 or 50,000 employees. These types of queries, these advanced queries that are actually more closer to business questions today, were very hard to process in traditional databases like Microsoft SQL, OLTP, or Oracle. And so, our engineers came up with a new data model called a data warehouse, as you can see. And these data warehouses are optimized for these optimized for aggregating, meaning adding together large sets of data. And so these data warehouses were used about maybe 15 to 20 years ago to process these types of questions. The problem with data warehouses is because these are all based on hard drive speed, meaning the I/O was usually the bottleneck. So even if I ran a query that added all the data together for the past 3 years, it would take hours and hours. In the past, it would take weeks. Now it took hours, even with the powerful hardware of today, because we were limited to the hardware spin speed of maybe the fastest ones were 15K. So hard drive speed was the limiting factor for data warehouses. People came up with a new idea called cubes, which is just basically a cache. So instead of running these summaries every time the user clicked on a total button, these cubes would process it overnight. All of these, all of the different scenarios that users could do in a batch process. So, for in the past process, it would read from the source data, it would add them together, and then divide them into different types of slices or views for all the different types of user for all the different types of scenarios which users would look. For example, if I wanted to see the past 3 years of sales by sales manager, if you designed your cube according to those measures or those dimensions, you would be able to get the answer in a few seconds. And so cubes, as you see, the cube over there, the small Loomis cube, actually allows you to find answers, ask questions in a very efficient way. There was a limitation on that as well, because of the nature of cubes, you had to define the cube beforehand, meaning that I had to define what I wanted to ask. I had to define, I want to see this data by sales managers, I want to see it by regions, and I want to see it by products. Anything other than these three questions, I had to redesign the cube. I had to populate this cube. And so while cubes were vastly superior in speed, they actually took a lot of maintenance from IT. And so the next version up from that, so we started from traditional databases, which took weeks to process this data. We went to data warehouses, which took a couple of hours. And then we went to cubes, which took a couple of seconds to calculate this data. The higher we go, the more maintenance it actually took. The most recent technology is called in-memory technology. Microsoft calls it X-Velocity. SAP has their own version called HANA. Oracle, I wonder if Oracle has something like that. They probably do inside their Exadata systems. But we're now in the world of memories. Memory sticks are cheap. It's possible to buy lots of these memory sticks. There are systems that have terabytes of memory in their servers. And so because memory doesn't have that potential, doesn't have that I/O problem that our hard drives in our databases have, it is very efficient in calculating these measures. It is not only efficient in calculating, but it's also very fast, basically has no latency in storing data or retrieving it. So it's the best of all these worlds. And that's why PowerPivot, which is the name of our in-memory technology, utilizes this technology for the first time inside Excel, SQL Server, and SharePoint. And so if we go back to this architecture, we first aggregate the different types of data sets that we want, put them inside a central data warehouse or a cube, and host it into our tools such as Excel or PowerPivot, SharePoint, and then share it with everybody in the organization. Any questions on the architecture? I hope I was correct. Yes. Right, so the question was, will SharePoint Online be implementing some of these features. Yes, Microsoft vision is to be all in the cloud, because we see the industry going into the cloud at least in the next 5 to 10 years. Between that, we think the hybrid scenario would be popular. But eventually, yes, all of these features will be going into the cloud. You could try out SharePoint Online even today and see some of the rudimentary features that we have, such as some of these features here. We're not actually there yet, because not all the features have been implemented. But you could probably expect that in the future, not even long future, probably in the next release or wave, we'll be able to get closer to that mark. But yes, cloud is our goal. Especially regarding the end user tools such as Excel and Office, we want to make sure that those features are all there. And then probably the next step will be making sure that the synchronization between on-prem and cloud is there so people could actually upload their stuff into the cloud and not having to upload terabytes of reports into the cloud in day one. Yes. I hope I'm not talking confidential stuff. I'm not sure about that. Any more questions? OK. So what is the summary of Microsoft difference? We're end user friendly. Excel is the number one tool for basically anything. It is export to Excel is the number two feature used globally in any BI tool. And we are hedging our bets on Excel, not even for yesterday or today, but for the long future. We want to make sure that all of our features that we have like 7 BI tools, even within Microsoft. Visio, reporting services, Excel services, performance point services, PowerView, whatnot. We want to be able to create an experience that's now more seamless and more coherent, because these tools are a little bit different. So our long-term goal is to make sure that all of these kind of converge at some point into Excel. Second point is IT professional. My last demo will be showing some of those features. Self-service BI evolved because end users were free to roam what they wanted to do before, create their reports, do simulations, share it with others, and actually be proud of the dashboards they built using the familiar tool of their choice. The problem that we had in IT was that these reports built in Excel actually recreated the spread mark problem. They are powerful dashboards, but from an IT perspective, they're just Excel files. And people are creating many of these every day. And these are not 10 megabyte files anymore. These are anywhere from 500 megabytes to a gigabytes of Excel files going around my portal system. So there needs to be a way to control that. And that is the part that Microsoft excels in. Compared to QuickTag and Tableau or any of these niche BI players, we have a platform story based upon SQL Server and SharePoint that allows us to control this behavior. And so if we install SharePoint, there's a new tool that's already built in called the Power Pivot Management Dashboard. And this is just a rudimentary tool it's a sample kind of dashboard that we created inside Excel services so that it's free for you guys to customize as you will. You can find it as part of the SharePoint management console. And there's a menu below that shows this. Maybe I should show you that first. So if you go to central administration in SharePoint, on the bottom right, if you have Power Pivot services enabled, there will be a Power Pivot management dashboard that allows you to manage all the assets that are going around in your organization. So while the end users seem free to create reports, publish it everywhere, on the back end, you can actually monitor all those activities. You can monitor query response times, instance CPU, memory usage, activities. And these are all Excel reports. So it allows me to filter by years, as well as performance numbers. And these are just Excel reports that I created using Power Pivot. So I can filter the data by years or whatever you want. It reads from the log data so that you could basically customize everything from it as well. Right. So I guess our story is end user friendly, IT controlled, and there is only one tool and only one vendor in the world that offers the best of both of these worlds. So I guess that concludes my session. I want you guys to, since I usually present in a more internal audience, but because your external is very special for me, we have beta versions of all of this software that I built today. SQL Server 2012 beta trial is there. SharePoint and Excel. I want you guys to go back and actually try this out, because it's so easy to install. It takes literally about 30 minutes to install everything and make it work. Just kidding. It takes about 3 hours to install everything and make it work. We have a lot of all of this data. The demo that I showed you today is all public, so you can download a demo set called Contoso, put it inside your Excel workbook, publish to SharePoint, and actually you can do a prototype in your organization and kind of show off to your executives that this is the type of things that you could do today, because I believe most of you already have the licenses to use this. If not, you can purchase separate licenses or for just the prototype team and then see how that goes. You don't have to spend millions to create a data mining application. Although you might want to have a few copies for SaaS users and for those data miners, but for the majority of your users, the Excel tool and allowing it to share through SharePoint, utilizing all the powerful features of SQL Server will be a very good start for those organizations that are now starting with BI. Okay. So with that, I'll end my presentation. I'll stay here for another 10 minutes or so to get questions offline. Thank you very much.